here that she mentioned, and I am the project coordinator for Georgia's Nutrition and Physical Activity Initiative, which is a CDC-funded obesity prevention initiative. And this work came out of our faith-based work group. And just a little bit about the initiative for the CDC. The target behaviors that we're looking at is to increase healthy eating, increase physical activity, decrease TV viewing and screen time, which includes the computer games and all that, and to increase breastfeeding initiation and duration. So we look at health is defined as a dynamic state of complete physical, mental, spiritual, social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease and infirmity. And as we look at the faith community, what we kind of realized in our work group and our discussions is that the faith community really posed a unique opportunity to address health. And one of the things that's so great about the faith community is that it's a lot of times it's intergenerational. It's one of the few audiences, you know, when you look at schools, you're just looking at the kids. When you go to the work site, you just got that. But it's one of the few areas where you have that intergenerational, and you may have two or three generations, sometimes even four there, and five, and that's just, you know, phenomenal. But it's also a place where they come and they have trust. They feel safe, and they feel like the message that they're hearing is going to be something that they can take away and that they can believe in. So that's really unique, because in not the most of the other venues, you don't get that. You don't get intergeneration, and you don't necessarily have a place where they feel that, that they're trusting the message and the person who's delivering the message. So it's a great opportunity to promote that type of health and healing, but also that in, as I talk about our toolkit, and we have a couple of here, and we also will send you away with some sample, a CD, which has the complete toolkit on there, that it's also a place that often when we have those problems, those chronic diseases, where do we go? We go and we pray, we put people on the prayer list, so that's where we go. And I know that's one of the things in the opening that one of the pastors mentioned, that you know he noticed that there were so many requests, and they were so often related to health, that there's something that they needed in their church to address. So a little bit about the guide that we developed. It goes through and it talks about the connection between health and faith. How to establish a health promotion wellness cabinet, or whatever they want to term it. Ideals on working in the environment. So they're looking at maybe the vending machines that are in the facility. Offering evidence-based programs. And because we know that the person who is delivering it may be just a volunteer, they may not have a health background, but you need to give them something to work with. And that's easy, because they, most of the time they're volunteers, and so we give them a step-by-step instructions on monthly activities. So basically we're addressing some of the heart disease, diabetes, asthma, cancer, depression, all those things that are we put on the prayer list for whoever that we're praying for. Now, what we looked at is that most of the causes of diseases are preventable, that very little of our time is spent in healthcare on treatment. Is spent on treatment, and very little is spent on prevention. And that 7% of all deaths from chronic diseases are preventable. So it's easy to see why the connection between faith and health, because if you look here at the influences of health, 51% lifestyle related. And we can't stress enough that we have to be more responsible for our own health. It's the issue that we need to talk about more. And we know, I know you've heard that there is an obesity epidemic in the United States. You know, we hear it over and over and over again, and it's like, what are we doing? We keep hearing the statistics, and they keep getting worse. But, you know, so this is just a great venue to take that message home, because it is those lifestyle issues that we are really failing to address. So your lifestyle has a great impact. Your lifestyle, your family lifestyle, the culture that you're in also has a great impact, the environment. And the faith community has an important role in encouraging and supporting healthy lifestyles. There's a lot of religious traditions that stress attention to health. And it's a great place where we're nurturing people, just not spiritually, physically, mentally, nurturing each other in that venue. So that's why it's a natural center for focusing on health and well-being for the just not that individual, but even in that family structure. So it's helped. We have a little bit about the faith-based strategies. Again, the integrating skill building, breastfeeding, nutrition, physical activity, activities, and that included. And the physical activity, we kind of correlate that with the decreasing of screen time, computer time. We want to increase the capacity of the faith-based organization to develop and implement nutrition and physical activity projects that they felt were important to them. To be able to either establish or enhance their faith council, wellness council, whatever they call them. So what we had was that coordinated effort through our initiative, because in our initiative, we are working through different settings. So faith is just one of the settings. We have a healthcare work group, an early care and learning, schools, work sites. So there's other activities that are going on, not just in the faith space. But we have, through our initiative, that common vision. We provide a framework for partnership development. We promote use of best and promising practices. And one of the big things we do is a lot of resource sharing. We put out a monthly update that gives a lot of resources for funding and conferences. And we also put out some funding, and we put out some funding to some of our faith-based communities to do this work. So what we hope to achieve is a positive health behavior, decrease the incidence of overweight and obesity, increase policies and environmental support, and that's at the state and local level. Increase the number of interventions in a variety of settings. And supporting communities so that they can develop their own local level obesity prevention or nutrition and physical activity initiative. So some of the health ministries are very formalized in some of the organizations, and some may be more loose, and maybe some who are just kind of interested in doing it. They may not have a formal network and a committee meeting. They're kind of working on their own. But it's something they're doing to promote health and wellness in there throughout the membership. So some of the steps of what we recommended for their planning and putting together of the wellness cabinet is first to get leadership commitment and support for their activities. most important, they don't need to be running around trying to do something on their own if they don't have that pastor, reverend, whoever support they need to tell them, yes, you're blessed, go ahead and do the work. So that's the first thing. And then as they can establish their wellness committee in our toolkit, it basically kind of helps them step by step how to establish that and set their agenda. We have in there asset mapping and needs assessment. It's a whole survey that can just be taken down and converted. If they want to add something else in there, they can add something in there, but that's in the back, in the appendix. And then we help in there with program planning, what actual programs they want to deliver and how to implement them. And then, you know, public health, we got to do evaluation. Very simple evaluation. Not trying to intimidate, but just something very simple so they can understand the importance of it and they can get out of it what they need and see whether they were effective or not. So they, you know, go through and assess the needs of their membership, the environment, so they're looking at not just their building, but also in the community around them, and then how to put that information together so that they can use it as they develop their program. And this just kind of tells you the pages, like I said, the inventory and the assessments are in the back of the book, and also the resources. So this is kind of a breaking down, shows them how to map out that, what's the problem, what's the issue, where the resources that they can, that are in their community, and then try to identify, you know, in the needs assessment and the survey, ask about people, what is your, you know, employment, what is your background, your expertise, so they can pull in more members into their committee or find somebody who could be a resource to call for help them. And then in most faith communities, they don't really have, like, policies, though we're calling them policies. It's kind of like that natural established order of things that happen. So even though we're kind of saying policy, it may be more the procedure or doctrine, it may be something else. But we couldn't find really another word that was good for that. But there are policies.
Tradition.
Your tradition, you know, that you know, kind of guides them in what they do. And so that was kind of something that we had, you know, to look at. What are the policies that are, you know, establishing or running your organization that may need to be looked at? And then what is the environment, you know, those longstanding traditions, and also what is available in your facility? Some already are way ahead. They have walking trails and they have gardens and stuff. But those are the type of environment that makes that shift also. And so those are, you know, important as you kind of develop what kind of lasting program you want to have, is establishing what we have, what we want to improve on. So in the toolkit, we broke it down to talk about those areas that we're targeting. Nourish the body, basic information on nutrition. And resources like going to My Pyramid and basic health and human services, but your basic, you know, USDA recommendations are listed there. Keep the kitchen safe. We didn't quite want to tackle, we talked about tackling the ladies in the kitchen, and they were like, no, we can't deal with them. We're not going to change. We're not going to try to get them to change. That's an addendum. We're going to do that.
It's another program. A whole other program.
You know, because that's really important, because that's every Sunday, you know, that they're having something. Every Saturday, whenever they meet, they're having something. And so we need to address that, but that's an addendum we'll add later on. Yeah. So we did talk about keeping the kitchen safe. Yes.
We had a outbreak.
And the kitchen safe is just, you know, making sure that food is kept at safe temperatures. Basic information. Be Faithful to Fitness talks about the importance of physical activity for your mental and physical health. And then we had Tend to the Needs of the Breastfeeding Mother, either establishing a lactation room or some area where moms can nurse with their babies. So in there, we also included some sample programs, evidence-based programs, so recommendations like Weight Watchers. We know that's a good program. That's something they can easily bring into, and that's not only just for their congregation, but for their surrounding community, which is also very important. So we list that out, different resources, and for example, like your lactation classes, they have La Leche, they're always looking for some place to meet. And that's kind of, you know, if you have a faith organization, people do feel safe or saying we're going to meet here at the library or at the faith, you know, they feel safe going there other than going to someone's home all the time. And then we laid it out month by month with activities. So, for example, March is National Nutrition Month. Exactly how to do a bulletin, where the resources are, what type of activities you can do for that month, step by step by step.
And so sermon.
And there's a brief sermonette that you can give the faith leader so that they can present that information so you're tied in there. So you have the complete thing. They don't have to try to figure out what to do, how to do it, and just trying to make it easier on them. So, you know, give them the objective and everything is there for them.
I'm hitting you.
Okay.
I wouldn't hit the rest of you.
I get that. Okay, so I'm done. So, you know, like I said, we have the toolkits out here. It is exactly what is printed. That's what we printed the information from. So you're welcome to those.
Wait a minute. And you have to auction off.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not until the end.
Okay. And we're going to auction the two printed copies out here. We'll auction those off.
We haven't figured out how, but that's what we're going to do.
So what we have is that collective expertise and support from leadership, using available resources so that it's there for them. They don't have to go all over the place looking for stuff. And basically to start slow and build upon their success and grow their program and have fun along the way. Thank you.
Also, I rushed Diane, but there is in the toolkit, if you get it. If you don't get it, there is a website where you can download it. This is free
yes.
Public domain information.
And it's in Spanish.